and you have music fans.
Yeah.
And you have really weird people who love the radio, who don't, well, don't love the current state of the radio industry, but like love radio.
Yes.
But like, and not the technical aspect of it?
No. not the technical aspect, not the sound, the personalities. That's like, what I like, the personalities.
Like, legit, right now, if you ask me, like, this is probably not good to say, tell my nutrition friends that after going into some nutrition school, but it's like, what's your career model? Like, ideal would be, my answer, no BS, is Michael Felger. Like, I feel like that guy. If you want to know how to run a radio show.
I am an attorney by day. And if someone said, hey, you can make a living being like the stunt boy for Scorch, who's now in California, I believe, I'd be like, okay.
Looking for a fax machine.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll send some faxes in. I'm going to do a Looney Tune.
See, this is the thing. We have inside jokes about minor celebrities on Rock 101 from New Hampshire from 10 years ago. Like, this,
Rock 101
this
is amazing.
This is how our lives.
We went to TNA Lockdown.
It was Lockdown 2006.
2008. And I think Scorch had locked himself outside in a dog cage for PETA because... He's like a super... He's a saint. Scorch is a super nice guy, yeah, it seems like it. So there you go. Scorch. And he talks like this. Hey, it's me, Scorch.
Who you can... Yeah, if you like... That's why I like Pharrell, too.
Pharrell, whom I hate listening to. because he's a nightmare person who talks about the Steelers.
He does like his baseball, though, so that's a pro. And everybody always wants to talk about football 24/7.
I gotta tell you. I've been watching a lot of baseball lately.
But going back to all these shows, and you talk about Summer Slaughter.
Yeah.
And which is one of the last metal festivals standing. Even can't realize after we went, so we went to Metal Hardcore Festival out in Worcester this year at the Palladium.
Great show.
It was only 2 days, and I thought it was weird because the second day it was kind of co-opting Killswitch Engage's tour. Like half the bill on that day was their regular tour.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess after, even that is kind of struggling. I mean, they had to.
It was
make
like
it
Killswitch
more concise because they're struggling too.
It was like Killswitch at all on Saturday, where Sunday or Friday.
I mean, they
like,
still had all like the local bands going on too, but it was a Killswitch, Unearth, and whoever else they were touring with at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so Mayhem Festival's gone. They had the Rockstar Energy Drink, whatever stages at Warped Tour. But Kevin Lyman used to run Mayhem Festival too. That didn't work. He got in some hot water actually with the metal community for some comments he made.
What did he do?
They had an interview and he's like, hey. You know, the reason why Warped Tour is going on for so long is the punk community is kind of more willing. These bands have to be willing to give up a little bit, like implying that like everybody had to like make less and kind of be all in this together now to keep this tour going. Implying that metal bands, I guess, I don't know if they're more selfish or wanted more money or what the implication was. He had to backtrack off that very quickly. But
Can I give you a Fuego take? Isn't the Warped Tour sponsored by like Vans and Tony Hawk and stuff? Or am I wrong on this?
I mean, it's completely... Yeah.
Like, you went to it, right? Isn't it just like...
Oh, I went to it.
Slam this energy drink, bro.
Well, that's the thing. I got there. I was like, summing up Warped Tour 2016 is $15 Bud Heavies and
it's important to know that Matt went to the Warped Tour by himself.
I went by himself, but before we get to that, I just got to mention now, because this is not the format I'm used to, so...
Ooh.
A little after the top of the hour, you were listening to The Graveyard Shift on WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. So, yes, getting back to the Warped Tour, I did go by myself. It was a birthday present from my niece who got sick that morning.
Happy birthday.
And I frantically was texting everybody I knew who might be interested in going.
I had a very panicked text when I was in court.
Yeah, right.
Will you go to the Warped Tour?
I know it's a Wednesday, and I know I'm unemployed and nobody else is, and I can just go to the Warped Tour whenever I want, but everyone wants to go. So I didn't. Well, I had a blast by myself.
Yeah. I mean, 4 years strong was
4 years strong.
Yeah.
Skanked to Real Big Fish, some Less Than Jake.
Sure.
Got to the front row of the Interrupters with the 40 other people that saw them, which was awesome.
That sounds good to me. I would have went if I wasn't at work.
I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
But $15, I mean, it is a corporate, I mean, like, that's kind of a silly... Whatever, like,
but well, yeah, well, it's going back to part of it is this attendance too, and I don't know if it's oversaturation of metal festivals or what it is, but a lot of them are fading away. So you have Summer Slaughter, you had, I think the All Star Tour, whatever last year, and they actually like ran into each other here at the Palladium. There was like two different festivals going on almost at the same time, but yeah, so I don't know what's going on.
Do you think metal is just a more When you say metal, this is a metal festival.
Right.
That you're already making it, for whatever reason, however the United States is right now, in terms of what people are listening to, that it's automatically a more niche thing. Because even within the metal community, there's so many little kingdoms inside of it.
There's
right?
so many different, yeah. And then, I mean, if you talk about, I mean, obviously somebody occasionally breaks through some crossover band like... what the hell's her name? You were talking about them before the show. That you thought they were making fun of metal.
Avenged Sevenfold.
So like they obviously I thought they were making fun of metal. Like yeah, they. Well, I wouldn't blame you for how they when they broke, but like no, they I mean, they are. Say what you will about them, like they're.
They made it. They made it.
So every so often a band like that goes through, but I feel like if I mean probably, the most popular, and I know that, you know, hardcore metal fans would probably get mad because I'm probably forgetting somebody, but like. The biggest extreme metal band in the country is probably at one point Lamb of God recently, right? Sure. They're one of the biggest, if not the biggest.
But like,
and if you look at their album sales and their tour, the venues they're playing compared to, I mean, there was one point, I think when a couple albums ago, they headlined at the Paradise. And I mean, even a more marginal indie alternative band is going to go to House of Blues.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Lamb of God did also headline House of Blues where I saw them, but it just goes to show that I feel like a lot of bands. The bit at the top of the metal genre are considered marginal still by most yeah. Americans. So, and there's like so many of them too. Like we were talking about, like distinguishing between punk and metal, and like
yep.
punk is kind of all over the place. And they, I mean, they're more used to like you know DIY house shows or whatever. And there's just so many metal band, and there's so many tours. So you got Warped Tour, you got Summer Slaughter, you got Hardcore Metal Festival. All these others. Going through, and it's like you see a lot of the same band names, like a lot of local guys playing, which is great. But then you're just like, I don't know where it's going.
I gotta say though, too, like much like our discussion on wrestling with our boy Seth Rollins saying, if you're not a fan of wrestling, I know, like I don't understand it. But within metal, there's so many things to like, and I'm you know you're more knowledgeable about the genres and so forth, but. But even, you know, you get in, you know, every kid's first favorite band is Led Zeppelin because it's, like, against the law to not be. But then out of that, you could spiral into so many ways. Like, there's so many different types
mm-hmm.
of things that would be considered metal that you could be a fan of. And there's so many people putting out good music within that specific genre that you can dig into it and get, like, exactly what you're looking for pretty much all the time. So, like, I like Vikings and songs about the devil and, like, go. I can just, there's a whole thing for me. And then you get your stoner rock and your sludge and your metalcore and folk metal.
Finnish folk metal.
There's just everything. So
you get the other side, like the black.
Yeah.
Metal and grind.
And it's almost like exposure of that, would you get at a festival, I think would actually be, which was stinks because it's less, it's hard to, it's like a catch 22 because, you know, there's less exposure because there's less festivals, but you almost want more festivals because it will increase people's mm-hmm. attention to these genres, these subgenres within metal. Where if you say to your average Joe on the street, you know, he'll probably say Metallica, I guess.
Right.
Like, it's all Metallica or it's all like Ozzy Osbourne or something.
I listened to that one Mastodon album.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Die of the Mother Load, that's a good song. That's a good video.
But like, and it's interesting because from stuff I've read, I think some of the more regional festivals, like the static festivals, so like you know once a year, one weekend a year, so you have like Maryland Death Fest, which I think that I feel like I've read conflicting things about it, but I think like stuff and trying to emulate like Hellfest and some of the European festivals where they're in one location every year, it's one weekend and everybody congregates there.
Yep.
And it maybe that's what I mean, because then it becomes a destination as opposed to, if we're talking metal, what Mayhem Festival is, what Summer Slaughter is,
a
where
tour.
It's a same group of people, yeah, a tour. And I don't know, maybe switching to more of a regional thing because
metal is regional too, right? Because I mean, look at Massachusetts. Like, as soon as you get west of Brookline, that's metal land, right?
I mean, central to western Mass. That's where the whole. I mean, Massachusetts, if anything, I guess recently would be known for the metalcore movement, which would spawn in, like central western Mass.
Yeah.
Or not Spawn necessarily, but like there's a huge.
There's a ton of bands out there that do that.
I mean, you had Killswitch, Unearth, Shadows Fall, blanking on the fourth one right now. But yeah,
my Bullet for My Valentine.
All That Remains.
All That Remains.
Bullet for My Valentine's from the UK.
I'm sorry.
All That Remains. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Five Finger Death Punch, are they out there
too? Oh God, no. Thankfully, they are not representative of Massachusetts. Usually, I say respect to all music, but that's one band. I can't.
Wow. Fuego Tape.
And of course, of course, they're one of the bands that broke it big.
Yeah.
But another festival, which is awesome, that we attended last year, going to attend for more extended stay. This year's RPM Fest.
Yeah.
Which is taking place. Why is my thing not working?
August 27th, 28th.
Yeah, it's was that the last weekend of August? 27th, 28th, and 29th out in Greenfield, Massachusetts again.
Heck yeah.
So many bands. Some of the bands, let's see, have we played any bands that are playing tonight?
No. Baguette?
Off the top of my head.
Play them next.
We have we could make it. Well, yeah. I don't know if we can go outside Massachusetts.
Special request.
I mean, band. Scissor Fight. Scissor Fight's back. They're playing set their headlines Friday night. Lich King headlines Friday night.
Sure. Do you have any Lich King on the playlist tonight?
Not necessarily. I could.
Could you play Wage Slave for me, your boy?
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, thank you.
And it's also cool because I like how they always throw in like some punk bands too, because you get Stiletto Bomb and Los Bunkalitos.
Yeah.
Appeal to all sorts of different genres. Riveniva is playing. We played them earlier, their latest.
And RPM Fest is like a really neat setup too, because it's on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's outside, and it's super nice.
You camp out.
And you camp.
BYOB, some local food vendors.
Yeah. Great pizza.
Mario Kart at night, midnight, or whatever.
There was yoga in the morning.
It was pizza yoga. It was metal yoga.
Metal yoga.
It was legit yoga, but it was, they were that yoga company, helped sponsor the Graveyard Shift sponsored last year's.
That's right.
RPM Fest.
I had a great time.
So definitely check that out. Hey, we'll be there. You can clarify, it's 26th, 27th, 28th in Greenfield.
Yep.
Next month.
Yeah, come on out. It's fun.
Good time.
And like you don't, and the other thing we were talking about before the break here was that we went to the Metal and Hardcore Fest, and I'm old. I'm an old man now, and we were in the upstairs. We were in the upstairs, and the ringing in my ears didn't go away for weeks.
We've learned, earplugs, your friend.
Yeah, baby. RPM Fest is outside.
There you go. Less to worry about that.
Dumpster Fire is going to be there. But
they're not.
No.
They were announced there. I haven't heard anything. Not like I have a direct contact. But I haven't seen anything from them since they announced that. But RPM Fest said they won't be joining and they got replaced.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the deal is with them. But yeah, they were hilarious.
I'm legitimately sad. They did a really good Boys to Men breakdown.
That is one of the bands I would see like for their performance they put on.
They're excellent. Yeah, excellent.
And then of course the other big festival, which takes place in October 14th, 15th, 16th out in Worcester at the DCU Center, is Rock and Shock, which is the blend of like my two favorite things: metal music and horror movies. So for the bands, Friday night you have Trivium, Dope,
ooh,
New Metal Kings,
Dope,
Cataclysm.
Yep.
Gotta get close here. Huntress,
Moon Bloodgood will be there. A
couple bands that are imperceptible right now. Saturday night, Max and Igor Cavalera, who have been together and then not together in about five other different bands, are playing. It's a Return to Roots, Sepultura reference there, along with the Rocking Dead Comic
Bloody
Christ.
Roots. Bloody Roots. Right?
Yeah, I can't. Some of these bands I can't read.
Are they written in the metal font of like just scratches?
And on, come on, guys. Sunday, headlining on Sunday, when you can't get ICP, you get the next best thing. Twisted.
Oh, are you serious?
Spooktacular Horror Show 2016. That's Sunday the 16th.
Guess we're going.
I think that's a guarantee. You get to meet people that are going to be there: Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich from Scream.
Wow.
And of course a bunch of other movies.
Will they redo the scene where they cut each other?
They cut. That reminds me of a movie that I saw last night. But have you seen Green Room?
No.
I saw it last night. It's a very similar scene.
I basically know everything that happens.
It's not like a scene central to the movie, but there's a similar scene. And same thing happened in Crimson Peak. It's very interesting how you have like strategic stabbing going on. But anyway.
Maybe we'll strategically stab each other before the end of the show.
Maybe we will. Danielle Harris, who's in, of course, became known from Halloween 4 and 5 as Michael Myers' niece, but has been in a bunch of smaller stuff since then, including Hatchet 2 and 3.
Mm.
Rob Zombie's Halloween, she came back as Amy Brackett for those.
Mm. Shout out to Hatchet 2.
The fact that she's in 1 and 2, obviously, spoiler that Amy Brackett lives in a Rob Zombie's Halloween. Unfortunately, it's not a good movie. Made an appearance in Holliston Stakeland, which is a smaller indie vampire flick. Very good. She's in that as well.
Okay.
Then you have Courtney Gaines and John Franklin of Children of the Corn fame.
Okay.
Old school. You have Camille Keaton, who plays a very uncomfortable role, the titular character on, well, if you go by the real horror fan name of Day of the Woman, but also known as I Spit on Your Grave.
Yes.
How
old is that lady?
And I'm not sure.
That movie came out in like the early 70s.
Yeah, 70s, right?
And it was like It's gross.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They
remade it
and then made two sequels.
Italian sequels?
No, these are American.
Okay.
But they're just... I didn't read them, but... don't bother.
Poop on your corpse.
Caroline gross. Williams from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Hell yeah.
As long as Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. She was also in Hatchet 3 and Sharknado 4.
Boo. Sharknado.
Yeah, get Sharknado
stinks.
Out of here.
Fuego take. Sharknado is garbage. Stop watching it.
It's so dumb. That goes back to our conversation about, like, oh, you should be watching this on TV.
Well, that's the thing. Like, people, when people say,
don't
like,
want to see Aaron Zier.
Hey, watch, you know, Sharknado. Hey, I heard you like dumb heart. I'm like, no, I don't think, you don't know what I like then. Because Sharknado is like, you can't be bad on purpose. Then that's just shameful. Anyway, shout out to Hatchet 2. I heard a friend of ours said it was the worst movie he's ever seen.
He was not a fan.
And
but,
it kicked out of theaters for being too bloody.
It was, I believe at the time at least, broke record for the most buckets of blood used in a movie. And then was kicked out of theaters when they realized that. But yeah, local, again, all about local. Adam Green from Holliston, which you would know if you've watched that TV show.
Kane Hodder and his mullet are in that movie.
Kane Hodder is
chopping guys up.
Kane Hodder and Adam, it's hilarious. Like, I don't know how it happened. Like, I had a chance to meet him, but I didn't. I went to see his most recent movie, Digging Up the Marrow, starring Ray Wise last year with my cousin. But we booked it out. It was a midnight showing. And I'm like, I don't know.
You got some workout tips.
We booked out of there. But no, Kane wasn't there. Adam Green was there. Adam Green and his boy. Yes, you know, right. Whatever. But Adam
Fair
Green.
Enough.
But no, because he's boys with Kane Hodder.
Yeah.
He was with the Daily Departed Dave Brocky.
Yep.
Of Gwar fame, Odorous Undering. I'm gonna butcher that.
Odorous Undering.
Yes. And then
snorted Fugazi off of a board.
You know, he had like a decibel magazine's like a monthly extreme metal magazine.
Yeah.
He had like a weekly or a monthly like football column in there.
He seems like a nice guy.
He was like a political commentator, all stuff like that in character.
Yep.
He was on Viva La Bam.
I think he would go on Fox News and I'm going to say one thing about the election. He just dressed up like a monster or whatever.
Space alien.
Ugh.
And yeah, so it's very interesting. D. Snyder is on as a recurring character on his TV show.
D. Snyder's Strangeland. I heard it's your favorite movie.
I actually kind of enjoyed that movie.
I actually watched it on Stars or something years ago, and I was like, D. Snyder. And I was like, okay.
D. Snyder, and he's a funny guy.
He's funny. He's from New Jersey, and he's handsome.
There you go.
I guess.
But yeah, so talking about horror movies, and there's been some good stuff, but we talked about Green Room.
We did, and
you haven't seen it, but
like legitimate, that the guy in Green Room, right? I can't think of his name. Why can't the Russian kid?
Yeah, Anton Yelchin, who was also Daily Departed.
Yeah, who messed up Scotty
accident.
Too?
Yep.
Yeah,
not Scotty. He was Chekhov.
Chekhov.
Scotty Simon Pegg. But yes, I always make that mistake.
All
myself.
The other guys are the same.
But yeah, it's Star Trek. Whatever. Yep. It's never a Trekkie. Even though, again, the new movies are pretty cool. But anyway, so Anton Yelchin passed away. Imogene Poots. I think that's how you say your name.
I think you say Poots.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm also confused about the Imogene because there's no E at the end of her name. So I don't know if it's Imogen. She's from the UK. But anyway, one of the best characters of the year, I would say, in horror.
I heard she does a lot of karate.
She does no karate, but she does a lot of box cutting to people's flesh.
Yeah, the hot read on Green Room is like, it's the most extreme. Patrick Stewart's in it,
Patrick
I believe,
Stewart,
right?
Yep.
As a skinhead.
Yep, leader of the skinheads.
I mean, he is bald.
Yep.
It's like a punk band, and they're like trapped out in Seattle, the Pacific Northwest.
Screwy stuff. They're in Oregon, some screwy happens with the gig they were supposed to have, and then the guy tries to make out to him. He's like, hey, I'll call my cousin. And he's like, play your old stuff. And like they're like, oh, what are these going to be, skinheads? He's like, yeah, they're kind of right wing. So they show up, and yeah, it's like a skinhead venue.
Yeah.
And so a great scene. I won't tell you what song they play, but they like Anton Yelchin. I mean, he's like, I have a dumb idea. So they decide to play, I'll just say it's a Dead Kennedys song to start off to antagonize the crowd.
Sure.
But then they went over the crowd, and then there's they're getting rushed out of the venue, which you think is like, oh, because maybe like the skinheads want to beat him up. And then.
Yeah.
But now they forget something. They go running back into the
Smart
title of the movie,
yeah,
the Green Room, because they left something there. And see something they're not supposed to see, and then all hell breaks loose from there.
They should have played Genie in a Bottle.
Probably would have worked.
It would have rubbed them the right way.
Oh, they had bottles thrown at them.
Yeah.
Actually, I was trying to find a cover of that song. I was like desperate to find a local band that had covered that song. Like,
Genie
that
in a Bottle?
Success. Not Genie in the Bottle, but the Dead Kennedy song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what would you say? Have you watched any many horror movies this year?
You know, I usually try to get through a couple horror movies on Netflix because it's so easy to just flip it on and get some. I haven't seen Deathgasm yet.
Deathgasm is amazing.
And it looks awesome. So I'm just going to give
perfect blend of metal.
I'm
going to
give it 10 out of 10. I haven't seen it. But the one movie I saw recently, I went, you know, pre-Halloween, I tried to watch a couple movies. I saw, obviously, Your Next, which is an excellent kind of like home invasion-y type movie. Yep.
Black comedy, the director of which is directing a brand new Blair Witch movie.
You know, a comedy. Yeah, like that's basically what I thought. I was like, I didn't know what to think when I started watching it. And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, it's kind of a comedy. Like, it's kind of like, you know, it flips the script because I don't really like a lot of those, like, home, like The Strangers or, like, you know, where it's just like a family trapped in a house and people are getting...
I agree.
That's not my thing. It kind of just makes me want to, like, get into a fight, and that's, like, stressful. But it was really good. They flipped the script on that. The one of the victims was, like, a secret maniac.
Yeah, she's like, I grew up on compound.
And she's also in a bunch of Verizon commercials, which I thought was very funny, because she's, like, trying to find the signal. And I'm like, she's not trying to find the signal. She's going to stab you in the neck. Super good. And then I saw the last... The final girl.
Not to be confused with the final girls.
The final girls or the last girl.
Which has a common character.
Which I believe is a movie.
But maybe.
The final girl is like another twist in this postmodern horror world where Chloe Moretz?
No. It's Abigail Breslin.
Abigail Breslin is like trained to become essentially the last girl in a horror movie. But... she's trained to be like an assassin so that in the scenario where she's abducted by the villains, she'll kill them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spoilers, she does. But, like, the setup for the movie wasn't... I didn't get the payoff I wanted.
Yeah, the cinematography is amazing.
It's really good.
But there's a lot of, stuff you question plot-wise.
Yeah, like, well, not plot... I question it genre-wise.
Okay.
It would be an excellent movie if it was on, like, Lifetime. if they took out some parts, right? Because it's basically, like, lady self-defense, she wins. And it's, like, good. But the way they set it up was, like, oh, it's, like, you get to cheer for, like, Jason. Like, mm-hmm. she's, like, literally going to become a psychopathic murderer. But mm-hmm. she's murdering the bad guys. So it's not sad, like, when Kevin Bacon gets killed. Because you want him to get killed because he's bad. But that's not what happened. I mean, she just kind of... karate chops a couple guys and
they definitely downplay ending. I mean, if you want to get into the whole, well, for my thing, I mean, it was supposed, you assume that it's supposed to be kind of, well, you said it's like, you know, for lack of a better term, like kind of a female empowerment type movie.
Yeah,
but they kind of weaken the guys like too, like if you want, there's other movies that do that a lot better, I felt like, because
I thought the
way she goes about it, well, yeah, like You're Next or something.
I thought
like
You're
that.
Next, yeah,
exactly. Without giving any spoilers, like the way they go about setting up
spoilers,
her...
spoilers, there's murder in this horror movie.
Yeah, the antagonist is kind of like, it takes away from all the training she has and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish you put a hockey mask on and just cut guys up with a machete.
Yeah, I mean...
that's what I always want, though. I guess it's more like a ginger
snap.
There
snaps. Is a machete in the green room.
Why wouldn't there be?
There's two machetes.
Is there any call-outs to, like, Star Trek?
Nothing like that.
Does he say engage? And then people go, ooh, fun. those are my horror movies so far. I obviously want to see Deathgasm, but it's like, it's one of those things where like I have to like, I gotta buy it on their website or something.
What are those? It's on, I think it's on Netflix. I'm not sure, but it's definitely on demand. It was one of those movies I was like, got on demand before it was a DVD. Yeah, I think you have to buy the DVD through them or whatever.
And you saw Lights Out the other day, right?
Yeah, I did. I was a fan. Wasn't the best. So I've seen 20 movies that have come out in 2016.
Yeah, I heard.
And I would probably put it like right in the middle.
Okay.
Not bad. Not great, because you like the previews and like all the hype from the short film and stuff like that was like, this is gonna be a game changer, which Blair Witch is advertising itself as.
All horror movies.
It was solid. The thing, like we were talking about this before, the thing I like about it is it sets itself up to be like one of those very common horror trope today. It's like, oh, what is this creature?
Totally.
And then they go on like a Scooby-Doo mystery movie and they solve the mystery. How do
we
end this curse or kill this ghost or whatever? And you think it's leading that way? Like two-thirds of the way through, and they're like, nope, they're not actually getting out of the house.
No, yeah. like, that's the thing, right?
Everything is going to end in the next 20 minutes.
This is it. Yeah. Like, this is a ghost.
They don't go to Oregon or get on a boat or
they
something.
They don't
take a drive in the countryside to some castle where somebody was wrong. Yeah, right.
We were talking about this before the show, actually, about this specific trope in horror movies, which it might have started with The Grudge or The Ring, where it's like, here's a supernatural horror that you're like, imagine, listener, that you just go home and you're living in a real life horror, and all of a sudden, like, the walls bleed and the couches turn upside down and an image of a ghost deer just appears. That's horrifying specifically because there's no explanation.
Right.
And the problem with a lot of these horror movies with ghosts and like hauntings is it's like the director like wants to be like, no, this is the explanation. You have to go to Jimmy's house and he was trying to get a message out and he died with, you know, regrets, and if you bury his hat, the ghost will go away. And so that it like undercuts the whole thing. It's like in a wrestling term, you know, they're not strong. Like you got to book the ghost strong. You can't undercut it by saying, here's the one way to kill it. Also, you know it because you're a genius protagonist.
Yeah.
You actually know Chinese magic, even though you're Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right.
You know.
Well, and then, of course, on top of that trope, the most recent thing in like the last five or six movies is like, oh, they do that, but then it's not enough because then there's one last scene and, of course, the ghost survives.
It's always
not passed on or something.
I was actually listening to Flophouse podcast, and they were talking about Nicolas Cage's Pay the Ghost, which has that exact same trope in it, but I have to see because it sounds terrible. And Nicolas Cage is just someone, give him money, please.
Hey, at least the first Kick-Ass was good. He was in that.
I love Nicolas Cage. I love him in all his bad movies, too.
And then the one other movie I want to mention, too, is called Road Games, which is like a French movie, but it's mostly in English, which kind of weaves itself into, is like kind of a key to the plot.
Thank God.
It's actually pretty cool.
I am not listening to French.
No, it's not. Well, there's some of the most recent French are in the last decade. Well, we were talking about this too. Like, you have these like crazy gory foreign movies and it's like, oh, this is deep because it represents the human condition or socioeconomic tensions in Paris. And it's like, no, you just want to show some girl get skinned alive.
Totally.
Or some dude get ground up in an oven or something. And
Like Romero said that too, right? He's like, well, this is the civil rights.
But that at least makes sense. It's like, oh yeah,
well,
I can see
American.
Where they're literally lynching zombies.
Yeah.
And then there's literally zombies taking over, trying to shop in a mall.
He's very
that makes sense.
On the nose.
But there's other stuff. It's like, I have no idea. Like, why is this skinned woman, I'm referencing Martyrs if you haven't picked up on that,
ugh,
like about an existential crisis or whatever. It's
that's
like,
what they said it was?
There's some theme.
Is it just
anyway,
French ennui? Skin this woman.
The point I'm trying to make about Road Games is awesome because it totally turns again. Every time you think it's going to go down that road, mm-hmm, it totally like flips it on you. So
okay. I'll check it out.
Definitely recommend that you check that
out. Oh, best horror movie of all time. I'm sorry. I forgot to say Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive is incredible.
What an excellent movie. That's another thing that's missing that I actually miss from having a lot of cable is TBS used to have Bubba Bob Briggs and Monster Vision at like midnight, and he would just, it was like a Elvira thing, but it was like a weird southern guy, and I remember it was like I was watching the end of Jaws and he's like, that's the end of Jaws, that's a classic, now we're gonna watch another classic where Emilio Estevez fights a truck. So yeah,
and that's I mean, we think we love it, it's kind of become a cult classic, but there's also a reason why you never let an author direct his own movie.
No, I think that's why you do. That's your Lee Smith's only movie.
Then,
that's Lisa Simpson is in that movie.
And, is that the annoying wife?
Yeah.
In the car?
It's Lisa Simpson.
I had no idea.
She says a swear, or something. She says, like, the F-bomb. And so anytime you want to make Lisa Simpson swear, you just watch Maximum Overdrive, and she's just dropping F-bombs.
Also, a complete AC/DC soundtrack. The entire...
AC/DC did the whole soundtrack.
Yep.
It's amazing. It makes me want to play football and crash a truck and stuff. It's awesome.
Oh, man. So that's how we're going to end our horror discussion, is with Maximum Overdrive.
It's the best movie of all time, ever.
Oh, you know what's a sweet movie on Netflix? Holidays. It's like a short film anthology, and it's like six or seven shorts around like different holidays throughout the year.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
Did you see that Krampus movie?
I've never not seen Krampus yet.
I heard it was like good.
I heard it was disappointing.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it was like, this is like a Gremlins-style classic. Like, not like, it's not like...
Something like that. But it's kind of like goofy.
It's like goofy, but like goofy and like chaotic. Like, the first Gremlins is like chaos.
Yeah.
But it's funny because it's whatever. But But yeah, like I heard, and I was like, I saw a trailer for it, and I was like, the same thing that I felt about M Shadows, and I'm like, are you making fun of the thing that I like? Is that what you're doing right now, Adam Scott? But yeah, I heard it was good. Not as good as Santa's Sleigh with Bill Goldberg, where he kills
that opening cameo scene is amazing.
He kills Mango. What's that guy's name? Chris Kattan.
Chris Kattan. Yep.
Chris Kattan.
James Caan.
Yep.
Fran Drescher.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman from Rebecca Gayhart.
Yeah. Goldberg as Santa.
Exactly.
Jewish Santa.
It's a good movie.
Think about it.
It's actually a pretty entertaining backstory, too, to that one.
Think about it.
I'm going to say I'm going to be really annoying now. But now that, going back to Netflix, if you haven't ever seen Hush, is sick. It's like, Hush is like, if you take all the other characters out of Year Next and then make her deaf and not train in a survivalist compound.
Okay.
What happens in a home invasion?
Make her deaf?
Yes.
But
the main character is deaf.
Wow. But she's still getting home invaded?
Yeah.
I'm into it. Are they people or are they ghosts?
No, it's a dude. It's just random serial. Again, no, this is a random serial killer.
Hate it. I mean, sure. I like it. I mean, I'll probably check it out. Honestly.
It's pretty sweet. The Invitation is awesome. A couple gets invited to a dinner party. People they haven't seen in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. The dude's ex-wife.
That's how Clue begins.
It's there you go. And is there a sorry. So long ago, but it's if you like cult movies, like not like a cult, not a genre, like cult movie.
Oh,
like
movies about cults.
Yes,
I love a cult.
There you go. The Invitation is your movie.
Sure. I hope people are taking these recommendations down,
seriously,
and writing
them. Very seriously. I'll just post it on Facebook for you and Bernard to read, and then that'll be my validation when you guys like it.
Reading, you know, it's like you sit at the master's knee and he tells you all the things to watch.
I do have my list because I keep track, so at the end of the year, you know, like I can have my list.
Yeah.
And I could rip through my 20 movies right now, but I won't do that to you. Instead, let's play some more metal, shall we?
Hell yeah.
Got about a half hour left here, if we make it that long. Let us play the latest from Avalation right now. That's right. We got a request for Lich King coming up. We'll play some Avalation. This is the latest. It's called Mr. Fusion, featuring Chris Wiseman. And you're hearing it now on the Graveyard Shift, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Yeah. Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
And that was latest from, this is like brand new stuff just out today from the Acacia Strain. That was Sensory Deprivation off the Depression Sessions.
Sounded good.
Which is an upcoming compilation that you will be able to get soon. And before that, we had the latest from Avalation. That was Mr. Fusion, their most recent single. All right, so we are, I mean, we have about 17 minutes to play with, but we're going to wrap things up right about now. Mm. Sam, what are you, how was your return to radio?
I thought it was great. I love the radio. I love yammering. I could talk for hours and hours about nothing. And I'm into this music, so I'm psyched to hang out and just listen to this and talk about bad horror movies.
Bad horror movies. Some good horror movies as well.
I mean, there's good ones, but I like the bad ones.
That's, well, you're saying, like, there's, well,
there we're can talking be good, about Chiller, like, buying Fear Net.
Well, yeah, they're... I was so angry in that and realized that because it was like 2 years ago. It was like a July 31st thing. Like the next day, Fearnet disappeared from my lineup. I was like frantically.
R.I.P. Fearnet.
I was a regular viewer of Fearnet. But yeah, I was. I demanded to know what had happened and went online and Chiller Comcast. And Comcast acquires Fearnet. It was awful.
Garbage.
But yeah, but like low budget horror movies and stuff like that. And
yeah,
some people recognize that they have a low budget and stick to within their means.
Yes.
And can produce a good product. Other people like, let's do a CGI ghost demon.
This is a demon. Cthulhu. No, dude, no, stop it.
And this isn't even like the sci-fi, like the bad, knowingly bad sci-fi stuff.
Those are abominable.
But this except is like for Mansky, trying to be like Mansky. There are a couple good ones like that. That damn is just you, like we're gonna. Unfortunately, I missed it because that was on when we were on college. That was like, it's a big day.
Yes.
But there's like a couple like that that are like
Spring Break Shark Attack.
Still fun. Piranha. Double Piranha, D.
Double D edition. With no Jerry O'Connell?
No, well, because he gets.
He gets eaten. That's
he
right.
He gets eaten at the end of the first movie. What's the Ving Rhames does reprise his role.
Thank God.
With no legs. And because you think he goes down the first movie, but no, he is back.
It's Ving Rhames.
And trying to get over his fear. There's a pretty hilarious scene of him trying to get over his fear of water.
Ving Rhames is in a very bad movie where...
Is he in bad movies?
No. He's in a... Ving Rhames does an excellent job in a bad movie with, like, Dirk McGurk. Do you know what I'm talking about? The guy, he's like a rich guy, a white guy, and he's like an actor, but he's also like a rapper. Crap. Anyway, the concept of
Wait,
the
you're not talking about... there's Jamie Kennedy.
It's
movie.
It's like no. It's
Nick
not.
Schwartz. This is a different movie because Malibu Most Wanted. Most Wanted.
No,
which
this
is awesome.
This is a whatever you want to call it. It's like okay. So you know what is wrong with me right now? Who was in Saving Private Ryan?
Who wasn't in Saving Private Ryan?
No, the main guy, the main old guy.
Tom Hanks.
Loves him. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks' son, Chet Hayes. Right.
Okay.
Chet Hayes has a friend like Dirt Nasty or someone who's like another actor's son. Anyway, Dirt Nasty is in a film with Ving Rhames where Ving Rhames is like a ghost, but he's like the ghost of old gangsters. And anytime
right. Is this a new movie?
I don't know, man. I was watching it on Stars where I watch all my movies. And anytime Dirt Nasty tried to get out of the life, ghost Ving Rhames would come and like stab a guy.
Was he transparent or was he
No, he was there and he had like a fedora and he was like pretty awesome looking because Ving Rhames is pretty cool. But Dirk Nasty would be like, I gotta get out of the gang life. And then Ving Rhames would be like, oh no. And he'd like stab a guy in the neck. So I don't know the name of that movie, but look it up. Dirk Nasty and Ving Rhames. Dirk Nasty is
King of the Avenue?
That sounds right. King of the Avenue. That's right.
Came out in 2010.
Let me see. Can I see the
S.A. Morales, Eric Nathan, a young, I don't know. I googled Ving Rhames Ghost Gangster.
Yes, Ving Rhames Ghost Gangster. That's it. Yep, that's Dirt Nasty. I don't know what his real name is.
Look well, there up. You go. That's your final movie
anyway, recommendation. Anyway, final movie recommendation, King of the Avenue.
All right. So I will not second that.
How did you like having a person in the studio who wasn't...
This was good. It was somebody...
A rock and roll guy.
I found somebody who has my interest. So not only... So I went to Warped Tour by myself, right?
Yes.
Which was, at least that was like somebody bailed on me and people at least said they wanted to go but couldn't make it.
Totally.
Rock and Shock, when I lived out in that neck of the woods for a year post-college.
I'm going to
at the DCU Center. And I was like, I mean, I was on an AmeriCorps budget at that point. So I was like, I'm going to buy a ticket to one night.
You're basically homeless.
Go find some friends that were at Rock and Shock. And I went Friday night and I It was great, looking at all the vendors and stuff like that. And then there was a local movie like premiere playing. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to go to this movie and talk to people. I show up. Nobody is there. It is the dude from the group that was like screening the movie. He's like, oh, I guess I'll just give you the talk I was going to give. So he like gives me a one-on-one lecture about what the movie is, the background, and proceeded to watch a 90-minute local low-budget horror movie by myself. Which, much to the chagrin, I believe, of the guy in charge of the camera projector, because I think he wanted to get the hell out of it. But even at the end, he's like, I'm surprised you made it all the way
through.
Did
you clap loudly for the guy?
I should have.
Yeah.
But I just kind of give him a head nod, you know.
All right, that's cool.
As you do.
And, that's industry. That's very cool.
There's actually some pretty good panels they put on. A lot of people think, like, Hargman is like, B-movie actors who stand in line and pay to get an autograph. Or
I mean,
autograph.
Skeet Ulrich, B-movie.
No. I'm saying, but there's cool plus. Panels going on about, like, the state of the genre and different stuff like that. So that is cool to check out.
Wait.
A ton of different vendors. Like, stuff you could not imagine, like, home decor horror-themed is there, and it's, like, looks legitimately awesome. I think you can get tattoos there. They have, like, the extreme of the extreme underground Massachusetts horror movies that are, like, basically borderline snuff.
I don't like
or
that.
Or simulated snuff kind
that
of stuff.
That spooks me out,
it's
man.
Like, it's crazy. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying all this stuff exists. So it's
very
like,
spooked out. It's, like, 8mm. You're like Nicolas Cage, like, just sifting through.
But much, much darker.
But darker. And you have a worse suit.
But
8mm.
That's rock and shy. So if you want to talk to somebody who's been to festivals by himself,
yeah,
he can give you that
this guy,
perspective.
He's living. He's out there.
That's what you gotta do.
I'll go to
Rock
and Jock.
Yes,
softball.
There you go.
Yeah, Rock and Shock. I'll go to that. Totally. That seems awesome.
And so the DCU, which is getting a hockey team again, by the way, which is very exciting.
Not the Sharks though.
Not the Sharks. Sharks decided it would be prudent to have a minor league team not on the opposite end of the
Chumps.
Country.
I used to go to all the Sharks games. They were awesome.
What's the Sharks games? War fun.
I went to a bunch of Sharks games. I got a picture of Finns. He's reading a book to children.
But, that was what I was going to ask you during the concert. So when we were at Holy Cross in Worcester, everyone knew the Palladium, but like yeah. Ralph's Rock Diner. Are you aware of Ralph's Rock Diner?
I was aware, but I didn't go.
We missed out in those 4 years.
I was afraid to go out of
that's understandable.
My guarded campus. I didn't go. We go to Sammy's Patio.
$2 Narragansetts and horror movies occasionally on Sunday nights projected outside. Thursday night horror every Thursday.
Yeah, I feel like in 2003 I was listening to more Dipset and less metal.
I probably would have won.
That's true.
Would have changed my life forever.
I could have. We can always go to Sammy's.
Sammy's Patio. Have not been there yet. Some very cool local venues around that play. O'Brien's is a big one. That plays metal. Great Scott Middle East.
Yep.
They're dying.
Ballroom.
That's a new one.
It's new, and I think they did when Lemmy died. They had like a big
Lemmy Fest.
Motorhead Lemmy Fest thing.
Yep.
Out there. That looks kind of neat.
Yep. Cuisine Locale. They actually have a.
Is church still around?
No. The restaurant is. The venue is gone because the yuppie neighbors complained about the noise and loitering.
Oh my god! Yuppie neighbors, fight me one on one.
They got that shut down. Johnny D's is gone. TT's is gone. There's one other that's gone. I'm blanking on, but it's a rough state of affairs.
Middle East was almost gone, but
I think the owners are one of the reasons why TT's is gone. But
yeah, well, a lot of these places want to close. Like Johnny D's was just like tired. Just close.
All right, so that wraps things up. Thank you very much for joining. And
thanks for having me.
Yes, talking about the greatest topics in the world.
That's true.
And we actually completely avoided sports and politics, which is pretty impressive.
I believe you started the show off with saying this song goes out for all the Bernie Sanders fakes.
There you go. So we're gonna end things with a request, an in-house request for some Lich King.
Yeah.
Brian from Lich King runs RPM Fest and is also the band God Eater, who's both of these bands are playing this week. Brian Westbrook.
Very elusive in the backfield.
We're going to play Wage Slave off Born of the Bomb.
Oh, thank you.
So you have been listening to The Graveyard Shift, about 2-hour edition of The Graveyard Shift here tonight on WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM streaming live on WMFO.org. This is Lich King. I'll probably see you next week. Enjoy the weekend. See ya, Lich King.
See ya. Bye.
Medford 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
We'll drink horse by good beer and sit on your back stairs in a whisper.
And you are listening to WMFO in Medford 91.5 FM.